Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. You know, ladies and gentlemen, over the years, I have introduced you to a number of scholars in the world of business, and no school has been more represented in that area than the Fisher School of Business at Ohio State. We've had Joe Aluto on over the years. We've had Leslie Fine on over the years talking about small business and entrepreneurship. They're in the entrepreneurship organization over there at Ohio State. And so today is not any different. Today we're going to introduce you to someone else who's there. Oded Shenkar is the Ford Motor Company Chair in Global Business Management and a professor of management at Fisher School of Business, which is part of the Ohio State organization. He is a scholar. He's an international strategist. He's the author of a brand new book, what is his newest book, called Copycats, and it's all about how you and I can imitate others and be successful with it. Let's get him in here and see what he has to say. Oded Shenkar, welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot. It's good to be here.
It's good to have you here. It's good to have another great person, smart person from the Ohio State operation. Oded, when, you know, I spend a lot of time on this show talking about intellectual property and the ability, the importance of small business owners, you know, acquiring, recognizing that they actually are creating intellectual property, and talking to them with intellectual property attorneys and others about how to identify and secure and defend their ideas. Now, then along comes the guy who says we should be copycats. So help us help us reconcile those two.
Okay. Yeah, very, very good question. I mean, let me start with saying that I'm a very ardent supporter of intellectual copyright. I actually made a couple of appearances before the U.S.-China Congressional Commission, and basically I've been urging them for years to get a better protection for our businesses of our, you know, hard-won intellectual property rights.
Right.
What I am talking about is imitation that is legal, that is ethical, that is all around us. I would actually propose, and there's really nothing new in that. I mean, you know, historians and biologists have been saying it for years, is that imitation is really at the heart of human development and human civilization.
Well, of course, and you know, there's A&P and there's Kroger and there's you know, there's Ford and Chevrolet, as we know, and McDonald's and Burger King, et cetera, et cetera. There are all kinds of they're what we also might call variations on the theme, right?
No, absolutely, absolutely. Many imitation or variation of a theme rather than, you know, as is copying. And actually, part of my argument is imitation is a very complex intellectual exercise. It's a sophisticated thing, and you've got to be able to do imitation right, which includes, you know, coming up with the right variation.
Well, one of the things that the reason I agree with what you're saying is because I talk on the show quite a bit about something that happens in America more than any other place I know of on the planet. And that's what I call the universe of niches.
Okay.
In America, we don't just have niches. We have niches of niches of niches. And I think that's what you're talking about when you talk about being a copycat. It's about seeing somebody doing something and saying, okay, I want to be in that world, but I'm going to do it my way. And I'm going to do something similar to what that person's doing, but I'm actually not going to compete with them. I've carved out my own strata over here.
No, absolutely, and a lot of the successful imitation really involve transferring, or if you will, importing something across industry line, across national borders. So you basically take this existing thing and you transplant it elsewhere.
Well, Apple, the Apple Corporation, was an imitator of the IBM PC.
No question about it.
No two companies could be different, more different than they are.
Exactly. This is a very good example. And this is, you know, Apple is actually one of the companies that are mentioned in the book as being so-called innovators. Innovators are companies that know how to combine imitation and innovation.
Exactly. So talk to us about how you would put this in practice on Main Street for small businesses.
Well, for small businesses, I mean, you know, the first thing that I would do is draw people's attention that even though we tend to equate entrepreneurship with innovation, there's a lot of successful entrepreneurship really involves imitation. A lot of successful entrepreneurs have taken an idea from somewhere, have sometimes improved on it, sometimes merely borrow it, if you will, have transplanted it into a different context. Sometimes they combined a number of, you know, imitations, and this is what have produced something innovative, as paradoxical as this may sound. And if you go back to some of the most successful entrepreneurs we've had in this country, I mean, Sam Walton, for instance, for Walmart, you know, Walton has been cited more than once saying that almost everything that you see around in my operation has been stolen from somewhere. He did add after that he prefers the term borrowing.
Well, you know, another thing that that I've done is, you know, I've imitated a lot of people in my life, but not from an industry standpoint, not from a business model standpoint, but I've imitated my mentors. And there's no reason why a business can't have another business as a mentor. And, you know, one of the things I've learned from my mentors, I've learned two things from my mentors. I learned how to do things right and how not to do things. And we can do the same thing from other companies, can't we?
Absolutely.
And that's part of what you're talking about, isn't it?
100%. And one of the suggestions that I'm making is for companies to look also at the unsuccessful example. Don't look only at the successful example that are out there. But talking about mentorship is very interesting because when I reviewed the literature, at least in history, I found out that during the Roman Empire, for instance, imitation was formal pedagogy. I mean, this is how we have taught really students. But
right.
Here is really the interesting part.
Odette, okay. Hold on to that thought. Folks, the book is called Copycats. Tell us where we can find it, Odette. Odette, tell us where the book's available.
The book is available, I mean, in all bookstores, via Amazon.
Do you have your own website?
You have a website that is linked through the, through the Fisher College site.
Right.
But, you know, any bookseller, or if you just Google it, it will appear right away.
Copycats is the name. Odette Shinkar is our guest. He and I will be right back. Stay with us. That's the Reverend Al Green bringing us back, 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks for hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Lots of stuff that will help you there with your small business. Hope you check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Check out my blog, the archives, the articles. Also, we have a poll question right on the homepage, and I'd like to encourage you to take advantage of that and let us know what you think about our question. Every week is different, and when you click your answer, you'll be able to see how the poll is going so far. And if you're on Twitter and you want to follow me there, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Having a great visit with our new friend, soon to be not so new friend. We'll get him back in the future. His name is Odette Shinkar. He's a professor of business management at Ohio State University's Fisher School of Business. He's the Ford Motor Company chair of global business management there, and the author of Copycats, which is his newest book. And we're talking about using imitation to innovate. That sort of sounds like something you said earlier, Odette, to don't
absolutely
just imitate, innovate through imitation. What do you think?
Absolutely. And I think one of the myths out there is that, imitation and innovation are two really contrasting things, and actually they're not. My argument is that imitation and innovation are really complementary. And if you really want to be successful, you got to be able to do both. And I just give you, you know, just one reason. There are many reasons why this is the case, but just one particular reason is that it is unrealistic for anyone to believe that they could innovate everywhere all the time and be ahead of the game in front of everyone else. It's simply unrealistic, and history shows that it doesn't work. So if you really want to be a successful innovator, you got to imitate almost everywhere else.
Well, you know, one of the things I say, Odette, is that there's not really anything new under the sun in terms of change. A computer is just a fancy wheel.
In many ways.
And the only thing that's really different about change today, and this is what's got taken everybody's breath away, is the velocity of change.
Absolutely.
The pace of imitation.
That's exactly that. And one reason why I call the time where we are now the age of imitation is exactly that. And I brought in the book, you know, quite a few examples of how this acceleration has been taking place. It's just one little example. I mean, it took 30 years to imitate the phonograph, you know, when we
right.
had one. Compact disc player was imitated in 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else, if you talk about iPod and company and so forth, you're already talking about months.
Months,
you're absolutely
exactly.
right. The pace is accelerating.
Well, and that's something, if you become an imitator, shouldn't you be prepared to be imitated? If you're successful,
100%.
If you're a successful imitator, you have to be prepared to be imitated. And how do you guard against that? How do you deal with that?
100%. First of all, part of my support for imitation comes from observing that the good imitators also know how to defend from other imitators.
Mm-hmm.
It is almost like saying, okay, you know, the guy who used to be a computer hacker, you know, would make a good security chief. You know how to do it, so you know how to defend from it. You're much more... attuned to that, you tend to pay attention to other imitators, and you tend to get into niches that others cannot get in. And again, just one particular example. If you look at the successful makers of generic prescription drugs,
right. mm-hmm.
They know that there will be hundreds that will follow them. So some of the most successful ones, they get into areas such as biosimilars that require a lot of capital investment. They require very significant technology knowledge. So they know that they are able to imitate the innovator, but they also know that there are very, very few others who will be able to follow them.
Well, another way, it seems to me, Odette, the people that I see that are doing a good job of successfully imitating is they never stop innovating. In other words, they don't rest on their laurels. In the second decade of the 21st century, Odette, you can rest on your laurels. Okay, that was good. Now you got to stop. I mean, you know, maybe like what 8 seconds, maybe. You've always got to be innovating.
Exactly. And this is part of supposedly the irony that because the pace of innovation is accelerating, the pace of imitation also need to accelerate. So you need to be able to follow up quickly. And you may have had a model that had worked, but the model itself keep on changing.
Well, if you're running your company, folks, you've got to be the person whose eye is on the horizon. And the moment you hand off the new innovation that you have for your company, the moment your company starts deploying that and executing on that, you've already got to be thinking about what's next, right, Odette?
Absolutely. And actually, to be a good imitator, you need really superb monitoring capabilities, and you really need to devote your time and effort to that.
Yeah. Odette, the website at Ohio State is what?
www.fisher.osu.edu, that would be the website.
Fisher.osu for Ohio State. Fisher is the School of Business. Fisher.osu.edu for education. And they can find you there. They can check his last name, folks, is spelled S-H-E-N-K-A-R, Odette Shenkar. The book is called Copycats. Odette, will you come back another day?
I'll be delighted. It was a great conversation, and I think really that this is an essential ingredient for, you know, small businesses.
Thank you for being here. Oded Shinkar, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back. I will be too after these messages. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.